Good morning and welcome. I am very impressed that so many of you remembered that the clock's changed. I was worried that we would be in an empty church this morning, that the church would be as empty as the empty tomb. But praise God, you're all here. So welcome. It is Resurrection Sunday.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, okay. He is risen.
He is risen.
Okay, yeah. That's made all the Anglicans in the room happy. Resurrection Sunday is probably the most wonderful day of the year for us as believers. We celebrate the fact that we worship a risen Lord, a risen Saviour. A Saviour isn't someone who's dead off in a tomb somewhere. He is alive and he is interceding for us even now. He cares about the detail of our lives. He loves us with unending love. And he calls us together today to worship him, to praise him, to give him the honour and the glory that he deserves. So thank you for being here. And we welcome the Holy Spirit. We welcome Jesus. He's promised that wherever two or three meet, that he is there in the midst. So he's here with us this morning, just as he is with so many congregations around the world. We're not bound as a church by these four walls. God's church spans the entire world. And we are just a small group of believers here. But worldwide today, there are those that are praising, giving glory to their risen Lord and Saviour. Notices. This evening at Ashendon, there is a healing and wholeness service. Everyone is welcome to come along to that. And usual meetings throughout the week. If you're on our mailing list, you will have received an email giving you details of what's going on. If you're not, you can visit our website, estryelam.church, and have a look at the calendar to see what's going on. And of course, next Sunday, services, usual times, usual locations. Let's just pray and commit ourselves to God as we begin. Father God, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you that from eternity, you purposed a way for us to be restored to relationship with you. There was no other way. You had to send your son, and he willingly went to the cross, and there he suffered and bled and died for our sin. But we thank you that 3 days later, he rose triumphant from the grave, conquering the power of sin, conquering the power of death, and giving the gift of eternal life to all who will believe and trust in him. We rejoice this morning knowing that we have a Saviour, knowing that we have a Lord, knowing that the Messiah has come and he has come and set us free. Free from the burden of our sin, free from our shame, free from suffering, Lord, and giving us that wonderful promise of eternal life, all because of what he has done for us. So accept our praise, accept our worship, accept our thanksgiving this morning, dear Father. For Lord, we love you and we want, Lord, to experience your presence and your touch upon our lives today. For those who can't be with us, Lord, wherever they are right now, Lord, I pray that you would bless them, that you would, Lord, draw near to them, that they would know your touch, and that they would rejoice in this glorious day. He is risen, risen indeed. Amen.
Amen.
I'll hand over to the band, and they will entertain us is the wrong word. They will lead us through the rest of the service.
Yeah, just sit back and serve while you know. Don't do that, please. Good morning, everyone. I mean, a few of us are really excited, and I'm not sure how much we're going to be able to contain that today.
Woo!
I know, it's one of them ones. You should have heard me live. It was like a scene out of a movie. Let's go! Let's get pumped! That was after prayer, so you can imagine what's going to happen today. Well, for those of you who have been with us for a few days, over the past few days, you would hopefully have remembered where we left off on Friday. It was a bit of a somber note. But I know there were a few of us who were kind of getting ahead of ourselves and getting really excited because we know that Sunday is coming. And so today we're going to finish the program. I mean, I almost feel bad, really, because, you know, I feel like carrying on. But that's okay. Something else will happen and we'll start all over again. So again, things are going to be slightly different today. But we just encourage you to just sit back, enjoy, sing, worship, and just have a look, really. I'm going to read something for you and then I'm going to ask. Imagine Mary's eyes, how they must have burned and stung with tears of frustration. Watch as she wipes away softly at them. at first, and then furiously, emotionally wrung out, and yet seething with something beyond pain. They had taken him. They had murdered him. And now his body was just past this stone. They had rolled into place to keep her away from him. How quickly must her eyes have widened and then squinted, almost completely shut, as she shielded them against the bright light before her. Listen for the sound of the Roman armor clamming into the soil, the dust kicking up as the men collapsed at the sight. I'll tell you what, we can all go home now. That's the message, right there. That's it. I mean, don't go home, but how amazing that the grave couldn't hold our Lord. I mean, we knew that he could do miracles. He raised Lazarus from the dead. That tomb stone was rolled away as well. But this time it was completely different. And how awesome that we get to stand 2,000 odd years later and celebrate again that awesome day. You know, I went to a live filming of a podcast of a young woman who's an entrepreneur, a friend of mine, and she was led a few years ago to study God's word, to look at Jesus, all of the aspects of Jesus as an entrepreneur, as a businessman. And one of the things that she said was, Jesus is the greatest entrepreneur of all times because he was the perfect marketing manager. The 2,000 odd years later, we are still talking about him. Long before Twitter, long before Instagram, long before Snapchat, can you imagine what would have happened if there was Snapchat? There would be putting on their stories. We are Instagramming and Snapchatting and TikToking and YouTubing and Facebooking and Twittering and having services and standing in the streets and shouting from the rooftops that he is alive. I mean, if that's not going to get you as a business person, as a marketing strategy, then you need to go read your Bible again. So we're going to sing about his worth, and then I'll let the worship team carry on with the rest of the program. Father, you deserve the glory. Day and night and day, let our incense arise. Let the incense and the fragrance of our praise arise to you, Father, because you are truly worthy of it all. You see, at this point in time, I could just imagine the scene in heaven of the angels singing, of all the saints that went before us singing, you are worthy of it all. All the saints and elders, they would have bowed down before the Lamb of God. While earth just was waking up, while the women were just about to make their way to the tomb, not knowing what to expect, heaven was rejoicing.
Yeah.
And so I want you to just cast your mind back to a scene. Imagine, if you will, the disciples in the room. Imagine, if you will, Pilate and his wife locked away in their room. Imagine, if you will, the Roman soldier who pierced his side, standing alone, thinking back to Friday.
I denied him 3 times. Even after he warned me, I still couldn't bring myself to stand by him.
Peter, we all failed him in our own way. We all fled when he needed us most.
But he forgave me, even before it happened. He knew, he told me that before the rooster crowed, I would deny him 3 times.
I told you so. I pleaded with you, husband, to have mercy on him. But the weight of the crowd, the demands, the fear of revolt, it clouded your judgment. How could you let this happen? I warned you. Remember what I said. had nothing to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him.
I failed to see the truth before me, blinded by the politics of that time. I should have listened to you. I should have known better than to let the fear and the politics cloud my judgment. But the pressure, the demands of the crowd,
just following orders, but now I can't shake the feeling that something extraordinary happened that day. Truly, this man was the Son of God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Though they sealed the tomb to hold him, the best that they were able, no grave could ever hold him
now,
because in death he turned the table.
Hallelujah.
Then on the third day, women came to find the stone was rolled away. They should have known, for they'd been told what would happen on that day. The empty tomb before them now, his body no longer lying there, so filled with fear and trembling, all they could do was stare. All at once, an angel of the Lord appeared.
Fear not.
They heard him say, how could they fully understand the words that he spoke to them that day? One asked,
where have they taken him?
Of a gardener, so she thought, and in that moment of her searching, found more than she had ever sought. Confused, they didn't fully understand, but rushed back from the tomb to spread the news that they'd been told to disillusioned people locked inside a room. They cried,
the Lord is risen and he is waiting.
You have to leave this place. Everything he ever told you was the truth. Once more, you'll see him face to face. Many still could not believe it. Their fear and sorrow blocked the way. But soon the Lord would stand among them, his wounds for them he would display. Jesus conquered sin, he conquered death, he took back the keys to hell. Jesus rose to life triumphantly. 3 days is all it took. That tomb was empty once again, and many came to look.
Come and see. Come and see the empty tomb. Mary, who breathlessly cries out to him, Rabboni. Come and see Mary, mother of James, who collapses at his feet in worship. Come and see Cleopas, whose heart burns in the presence of the Christ resurrected. Come and see Simon, whom Jesus renames Peter, and who insists on a death worthy of his Savior. Come and see the holes in his hands and his side, Thomas, so you know the price paid for you. Come and see that your brother is Lord James. Come and see 500 others who look upon him and believe. Come and see Saul, killer of Christians, and be transformed into Paul, the great church father. Come and see, teachers, that he was the law you so loved. Come and see, preachers, that he is the word made flesh. Come and see, history, that the flow of time is bent around him in triumphant arc. Come and see, death, that your sting is final, no more. Come and see, believer, that you were purchased for a price, will be held welcomed home. Come and see, skeptic, the pierced hands, still reaching out towards you today. Come and see the place where he lay. Let your eyes rest where once he did. But don't linger. He didn't. Go quickly and spread the news. Tell them the truth of his word that you have read and the miracles you have seen in your life and the lives of others. Wherever you walk, wherever you work, invite them with your kindness and generosity and with the honesty of your eyes that shines amidst any circumstance to come and see. He is risen. And look all deep.
This is the glorious truth, isn't it? He is risen. That's the heart of the Christian faith. That Jesus has conquered death. That he has conquered sin. That when we trust in him, that we are forgiven. That we're set free. And it's like we've been brought out of the tomb ourselves. New life. It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity today to commemorate the triumph of our Lord Jesus Christ. He conquered death. He gave us hope. He's removed despair from our lives. He's brought light into our darkness. Today I want us to think about the transformative power of the resurrection and the impact of the resurrection on our lives. So the first point is the promise of the resurrection. In John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha?" Just as Jesus asked that question of Martha, I need to ask the same question of you. Do you believe? Do you trust that Jesus is your Lord, your Saviour? Do you know that there is no other way of salvation except through him? Do you know that moment in your life when you first placed your trust in him? When you asked him into your life, when you asked him to forgive you of your sins, when you asked him to be your Saviour, to be your Lord? And you know that our physical death is not the end. It's merely the gateway into an eternity with our God. A new heaven, a new earth, a new body. Are any of you going to miss the body that you've got now? I remember years ago, jokingly, while I was preaching, I was talking about the resurrection body and what it would look like. And I put up a picture of Dave Redbond on the screen. Strangely, that was the same reaction that happened then. What will our perfect bodies look like? I don't know. I just know they'll be perfect. What age will we be? I don't know. But we're told that we're going to recognize each other and that we will be without pain, without suffering.
Amen.
That's a wonderful thought. And what Jesus did 2,000 years ago is still setting people free from sin today. The blood that he shed back then is still efficient and able to wash away our sins today. It's wonderful that it's his blood that cleanses us. We're not reliant upon the sacrifices of animals or birds or goats. There's nothing that we can do in ourselves. And yet, we're set free from the burden of our sin, all because of what he's done. There's not many things in this world that last for 2,000 years. I mean, yeah, you go out in the Middle East and Greece and places like that and you see loads of statues that are busted or broken. And you know, I went to Athens a few years ago and I was amazed that there's an entire tourist culture built around broken things. Oh, look, that used to be a statue that had both its arms and... But the body of Christ that was broken for us 2,000 years ago, the blood that was shed 2,000 years ago, is still effective today.
Yeah.
And remember, Jesus rose from the grave with his body perfectly restored. Yes, he still had the marks. He had to have them because Thomas needed to see them.
Yeah.
And I often wonder, is that the only reason why he kept the marks? Just so that someone who needed to see a sign who needed the assurance that he'd really been dead, could actually see the evidence of it. I often find it amazing how God will speak to us exactly how we need to be spoken to, for us to actually understand what we need to understand. On that day when Jesus spoke to Martha, she needed to understand the truth, just as we need to understand the truth today. Jesus declared himself as the source of resurrection and life. His words reveal the promise of eternal life for all who believe in him. And as we reflect on Easter Sunday, we've been reminded of what happened so that we could be set free. We are reminded of the assurance that we have in Christ, that death is not the end, that death has been defeated, and it's just a transition for us to eternal life in his presence. You know, the promise of resurrection, it brings hope, it brings comfort. Whatever we may face in this world, whatever may seek to bring us down, God is able to deliver us. I heard on the TV this morning on the news that King Charles is going to his first service of Easter. He never went to the Good Friday service, but he's going today. And here is a man who has cancer, and yet he has been told and knows that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He will have heard it from his mother. He will have heard it from other people in his family. And I don't know where he stands before God. But I know that if King Chelms accepts Jesus as his Lord and Saviour, that cancer's not the end.
Amen.
The Bible, it tells us we should pray for those that are rulers and those that are in authority. Maybe we don't pray as often as we should for others. Jesus' statement here to Martha underscores that he has divine authority over death, that he is the giver of life. How often do we pray that he will give new life to those that are lost, to those that are dead in their trespasses and sins? Friends, we need to be praying that those who are currently living in darkness will be brought into God's marvellous light and will know the truth that he is the resurrection and the life. Jesus proclaimed that he is the resurrection and the life. Jesus assures us of the reality of resurrection, the assurance of eternal life. And the resurrection, he demonstrated it himself. On the third day he rose, and he's still alive today. Second point, the power of the empty tomb. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there, puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead." Amen. Remember what he told you in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. It's interesting that the angel said to the women, don't you remember? Just paraphrase it. Weren't you listening? When he said what was going to happen, did you just ignore that? Many in the world today just ignore it. They might hear the message of Easter. They might hear the message of Christmas. They might hear these weird people called Christians talking about Jesus as the only way, the Saviour. And they ignore it. Trevor shared earlier that they'd been in Southend yesterday, and there were three churches in Southend High Street that were preaching the gospel, sharing the message of truth at Easter. And just like in Jesus' day, there were those in the crowd that weren't really there to hear the message. They just wanted to ridicule it. Why do I need a saviour? I'm a good person. What about that one over there? Oh, I mean, if anyone needs saving, it's them. But all of us fall short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners because that's how we're born. And Christ came to fix us, to repair us, to restore us from being broken into being whole in him. And the message of the empty tomb, what the women saw that day, the proclamation from the angels, it's the fulfillment of the promise that he would rise. Because he'd paid the penalty for our sin. He'd conquered death. There was no reason for him to stay dead. He had accomplished everything, which is why the tomb was empty. The resurrection, it's more than just a historical event. It is a demonstration of God's power. God's power to bring life, to bring wholeness, to bring healing, even to the darkest of tombs. The empty tomb, it's a beacon of hope for you and for me. It proclaims victory, victory over the grave. The empty tomb actually invites us to embrace Jesus, knowing that he is Lord, knowing that he is Saviour, knowing that he is the King of Kings and the only one that could set us free. The empty tomb validates what he did, because he conquered death and then he came out of the tomb. Look at every other religion or faith in the world, and all of their leaders are dead. Our Saviour is still alive.
Amen.
There's a difference. In every other religion, man is trying to reach God. But in Christianity, God reaches down to man. In his grace, in his mercy, he humbles himself for us. The angel's message to the women, it reinforces the significance of Jesus' resurrection. This is the fulfillment of prophecy. This is a testament to who Jesus was and who he is. We can't refer to Jesus in the past tense because he is present with us now. Third point, the commission to share the good news. Now, we all know that Jesus saved you to occupy the same seat in church every Sunday. Yeah. To have the same parking spot in the car park.
Yeah.
To only sing songs that you enjoy.
Yes. Yeah,
definitely. Hmm.
We won't mention tithes and offerings. Well, all right, if you insist. The Old Testament model is tithes. The New Testament model is tithes and offerings. We give because he has blessed us. He's blessed us with eternal life. He's blessed us with salvation from our sin. And everything that we have is actually his anyway. And he lets us keep 90% of it. Wow. Okay, that was enough of an aside. The commission to share the good news. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and have comfortable seats in your church. Put up walls and use language that no one's going to understand. No, it's not what he said, is it? He said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Ah, but there's a second part. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What, you mean when we're not alone? No. You mean Jesus is with us? Yes. Jesus doesn't lie. He said he's with us, then he's with us. There's no ifs, buts, maybes. He is with every one of his children. Everyone who has accepted Jesus as Lord, he is with us. And then, of course, there's the doctrine of common grace, which means that out of God's benevolence, out of his love, he looks after most of the people in the world, most of the time. But there are those that just refuse to have anything to do with him. There are those who turn their back on him. There are those who think they're God. Over my life, I've had the privilege of working with both accountants and solicitors, and also fund managers. And I've worked with people who thought they should be the ones who gave advice to God. You ever met anyone like that? Human wisdom, human knowledge pales in comparison to God. God is the source of all wisdom. He is the source of all knowledge. And the great commission to us is to share some of the knowledge that we have of Jesus and who he is to those who have never met him, to those who have ignored him, to those who don't understand that they need a saviour. Ordinary people like us, and you're thinking, oh, Dean, you're not ordinary. People like us, we have a message to share, a message of truth. Over the years, I've met Christians who seem scared of the idea of telling someone else about Jesus. It's like, oh, I don't know enough. Oh, no, well, what happens if they ask me this question or that question? The Holy Spirit can inspire us and work through us and give us the words that we need.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit can work in us and through us when we've actually spent some time to read the Word of God, to actually understand the Word of God as much as we're able. But it can be just a single word that is spoken that can change someone else's life. This Easter, I'm assuming that all of you have already spoken to your family about the importance of Jesus Christ in their lives. I'm assuming that all of you have invited people to church today. And maybe they said, no, we're not going. Why would we want to go and listen to the beardy weirdy? No. But maybe you said, well, you can watch online. You know, there's a short sermon online. Dean's not been known for short sermons over the years, but somehow they're shorter than they used to be. There are so many ways to spread the truth of the gospel. There are so many ways to actually invite people to hear the message of the cross. There are so many ways for us to actually respond to the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. Jesus didn't say, it would be nice if sometime in your life you told someone else about me. He didn't say that. He said, go into all the world and tell everyone you can. Why? So that people can be saved. So that people can come to the same position that many of us already have and understand that Jesus Christ is Lord and that we need him in our lives. The Great Commission given by Jesus himself, it underscores the transformative impact of his resurrection on our lives today. We've been set free. We are recipients of his grace. We are beneficiaries of his victory. And we are called to share that good news of salvation with others, not just keep it to ourselves. We're meant to go. Easter Sunday compels us to go forth. At least it should. It should compel us to go and seek those who are lost. It should compel those of us who are believers to want to be baptized. It should remind us of our need to worship, to serve, to love God and love others. We are meant to be ambassadors. We're meant to go into the foreign lands, the foreign streets, the next door neighbor's house and be ambassadors for Christ. Sharing of his love, his mercy, his grace, the good news, the gospel that Jesus Christ has come and paid the penalty for our sin. He died and he rose again and now he's alive and alive forevermore.
Amen.
Jesus commissions us to be his disciples. There's a global scope to that, but there's also a local scope to that. Our friends, our family, our neighbours. We're meant to share the truth with them. And don't worry about them thinking about you know, they're weird. They know you're weird. We know you're weird. What difference does it make if you're going to tell them about Jesus as well? They're not going to think you're any less weird. Maybe I should ask Glenn to do me a t-shirt that says Weird for Christ on it. Because what Christ calls us to do, because what the Bible says we're meant to be, the world is going to see us as weird.
Yeah.
I mean, Easter Sunday morning, on the day when the clock's changed, you're in church? You really are weird. I'm happy to be weird for Christ because I know what the truth is.
Yeah.
And the truth has set me free. And for the last 2,000 years, the truth has been setting sinners free from the burden of their sins. And even today, there will be those who turn to Jesus for the first time. Our God is wonderful.
Yeah.
We know he's coming back. We know that he will take us to himself when he comes. But he's provided 2,000 years so far for other people to come to know him as Lord and Saviour. He hasn't delayed it. He already appointed the time when he's coming back. But we don't know when that will be. We know it will happen. Keep watching, exactly. Watch and pray, that's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Be ready. I remember a few years ago when I first became a Christian, one of my friends had a t-shirt that said, "Look busy, Jesus is coming." Look busy. But it's more than just looking busy. It's actually about living for Christ. There's a difference. There is a difference. I mean, anyone who's religious can look busy. But to actually have that living relationship, to actually share the truth of the gospel, to actually live as Christ has called us to live, that's hard in this modern world. Jesus says that his disciples, that we are meant to proclaim truth. And we should be proclaiming the promise of Jesus' resurrection, providing assurance and confidence to those who are lost that there is a way, that there is a way of salvation, that there is a way to be restored to a relationship with God. In conclusion, as we celebrate Easter Sunday, as we celebrate the truth of the resurrection, let's reflect on the profound significance of the resurrection in our own lives, but also the lives of those around us. How those lives could be changed, how those lives could be transformed, just as our lives have already been changed and transformed. My hope is that today we are not the same as the day that we were first saved. That God has been leading us all on a journey. That God has been drawing us all closer to him. That his resurrection, that his life has had a profound significance on us. May we embrace today the truth that we have eternal life, that we have eternal forgiveness because of what Jesus has done. All of our sins, past, present, future, have been dealt with. He loves us so much. Let's heed the call to share the good news. Let's go forth with boldness and compassion, fulfilling the great commission that the Lord has entrusted to us. And maybe next Easter, rather than churches coming down from Clacton to our local area to witness and evangelise, maybe we get off our seats and go and do it. Jesus said, go. He didn't say, build yourself a nice building with comfortable seats and just sit there every week. He said, go. And maybe somewhere over the years, the modern church has lost the fire for evangelism. Yes. Let's relight that fire. Let's tell people the truth. Maybe we need to listen to the truth ourselves more often than we do. As we go forth from this place, may we be transformed by the truth of the resurrection. May we be empowered as witnesses. And may we always be willing to share the truth that Jesus is risen. That he died to set us free, to save us from our sins. And that all who accept him, all who repent and turn to him, can be assured of forgiveness and a place in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your perfect plan of salvation. We thank you that we are participants in that plan. That you sent your son, but you call us to tell others that Jesus has come. That Jesus died, but that Jesus rose again. Help us, Lord, to communicate that truth. Help us to live that truth every day. May we be beacons, Lord, to your presence in our life. And may you give us many opportunities to share the truth of the gospel in this lost and broken world. And Lord, may we rejoice with the angels in heaven as we see people turn to you and come to that saving faith in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Bless us, Lord, in this coming week. Help us to live lives which bring honour and glory to you. And lead us, Lord, in your ways by your righteousness. May we ever respond to your prompting. May we ever sense your touch upon our lives. Hear your word, Lord, in our hearts. And may you empower us by the Holy Spirit to be the people that you've called us to be. Not just at Easter, but until you call us home. Amen.
Thank you so much, Dean, for that word. And we've just got a little bit left to go. But when you were talking about the nails in his, you know, the nail prints in his hand, and you said, well, maybe it was for Thomas. And you said, oh, maybe not. Maybe there's another reason. The Holy Spirit just dropped something in my spirit. And you know how the Old Testament sort of foreshadows the New Testament? And what was dropped in my spirit was this scripture in Isaiah 49. And I know you probably know it, Dean. I can see you smiling over there. And I thought, wow. It says, see, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. And I thought, oh, that's why you left the nail prints there. So every time you look, you'll see my wretchedness. And think that's why I came. That so many years before, he told us exactly why. Maybe, I mean, I don't know, that's just my revelation. Might not be, you go find yours. But I thought, I'll have that. Thank you very much, Lord. You decided to leave the nail prints there so that every time you look, you can see my own mug. And remember that you came for me. Well, just before the team come, and do the last thing, we sing our last song, which I'd like us to all stand for. I'd like Andrea to pass around the little yummies that we've got going, and in the bag for communion, not for communion, but for offering, can come round as well. And if you feel so led, please feel free to do so. If you don't, that's also all right. If you give in other ways, that's perfectly fine. And I just want to give an opportunity while that's happening. If anybody would like to share, see, Long used to do this, well, still does this thing. When I first came to church, he'd say, right, what did you get from that? And he'd ask the congregation, so, Lola, what did you get from that word?
there's so much, all right? There's so much. But in all of this, it reminds me or tells me that an encounter with Jesus would transform me. In Matthew 16, from verses 3 to 10, this was after Peter had an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he said, who do men say I am? They said, some think you are Elijah, some think Jeremiah. Some think you're one of the prophets. Jesus asked them, who do you say I am? And Peter answered and said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at him and said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And because of that, his name was changed from Simon Bar-Jonah to Peter, the rock. And he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you.
Amen.
Amen.
And I will give you the keys of the kingdom.
Yep.
That is the result of the encounter that you have with Jesus.
Yep.
So what we're doing today, or what happened 2,000 years ago and still is happening today and will continue forever, is that an encounter with Jesus will transform you. You will be like him. And that is why the need for us to share the gospel.
Amen.
Is that all you got?
I know, is that all? Nothing, not much.
There's so
much.
Not much. Let's stop.
Not much. Diane, what did you get?
What did I get?
Yeah, out of
keep on going, even though when you don't think that you're worth much, you are, because the blood of Christ is over you.
Amen. Go on, Paul, I know you want to share something.
No, I know,
actually. Oh, Paul didn't get anything.
I did get a lot from that. But I find it very difficult on a spur of the moment to actually put it into words what God does. Often God speaks to my heart and it takes me the time to go away and spend. And I think that's what we all need to do. Because, you know, this is so overwhelming. Oh, here I go. This is so overwhelming.
That's
so much, yeah. And I think we can so often become overwhelmed by it and forget so much of it.
Right.
And I think what the Lord says to me is, you know, you've heard all this. Now go away and think about it. Go away and implement it into your lives. Use what you've heard to change your environment.
That's it. I think we can all be charged with that. Yeah. If you got something from today, and I know everybody did, share it with someone. Don't rush off. Have a coffee and tell someone, you know, this is what I got.
In fact, I think word for the day this week, there's actually a passage where it talks about going to speak to someone. You might get it wrong. You might make a mistake.
Yeah.
I'm still here with you, and you will learn from those mistakes. And you will, no, don't lose confidence. If you do speak to someone and they belittle you and you don't know what to say, don't let it flip you off. Just keep remembering that Christ is still with you. He's inside you. I think also mentions about your space. You've got a space around you with work colleagues and the world. You've got an inner space closer to you with your family. But there's a space inside you with Christ, because you accepted Christ inside you. See, he is with you. You just got to sometimes reflect on that. Reflect inwards. Be still in a quiet room and pray and reflect that Jesus and the Holy Spirit work within you, and you're gaining that confidence. I'm not very good at it. I've tried. I sometimes get shot down, and I don't know what to say. I sometimes have given up, but don't we all? I mean, we're just broken people. But I do have faith, and I'm hoping and praying that I will continue speaking to people about Christ and the gospel.
Amen. Amen. Let's be encouraged. You know, the Bible says he takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He takes the things that think like look and seem like nothing, and he actually makes them into something amazing.
Yeah.
And that's us.
Yeah.
Even in our weakness, it says, when I am weak, then I am strong. So go out this week and really go for it. So Paul's going to read us the last bit, and then I'd love us to all stand and really belt this one out. If you don't belt it out,
we'll do it again.
We'll do it again until we do. Right? And this is the big one, yeah? So go for it.
So whenever you remember Jesus' death, as often as you do, remember, yes, he died that day, but rejoice because he rose again for you.
What more can we say? What more can we give but all that we are, Heavenly Father? For all that it is that you've done for us, it's not a lot to do in return. Father, we sing how great thou art. Every time we think that you didn't even spare your son to engrave us on the palm of your hands, that we might live with you for eternity. How great thou art, O God. As we go from this place today, let us take all it is that Easter represents, the whole of Holy Week, from Palm Sunday, when he rode into the city on a donkey, to Easter Sunday, when he left behind an empty tomb.
Hallelujah.
Let it resonate with us so strongly that we cannot help but shout out in the streets of our lives, how great thou art. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Lord, we worship you and we exalt you. We magnify you and we praise you. We give over to you all that we are and all that we have in service of the King. Let us follow the command to go into all the world and preach the good news that Christ is risen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.